I want to do something a little different. If you have your hymnals, could you turn back to 343? If you've got that, I was wondering if we could just sing that one more time, a cappella, and just really listen to the words as we sing it. Okay? Ready? Mark, can you start?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved.
Heavenly Father, this evening we come to you, Lord. We thank you so much for your amazing grace. Each one of us in this room has experienced your grace if we're born again. Lord, we were wretches. We were lost in our sin, wanting nothing but to sin against you. And you saved us. You plucked us from the fire. That truly is amazing. We thank you for that and we rejoice in that, Lord. I pray that this night would be glorifying to you. It would bring honor to you. That we would please you through our singing, through our fellowship, through the teaching that goes on here tonight. That everything would just be a sweet aroma to you, Father. It would bring pleasure to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight's message is from the book of Acts. We're looking at chapter 13, primarily verses 42 through 52. You know, there's been various messages that we've preached throughout the last few months, Pastor, myself, and others, about the gospel. We've had VBS talking about the gospel, the importance of sharing the gospel. And this message tonight, we're going to talk about how the gospel, when preached, it will divide. It's divisive. So the question is, why do so many people, when we start looking at the Bible or teaching Jesus Christ, why do so many people want to disprove these things? And the fact is, they want to do this because it reveals the truth about our fallen state. It reveals the truth of who we really are. And they hate that. The lost do. This being the case, it's very divisive. Matthew 10, 34 and 36. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. This is Jesus speaking. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. You see, the gospel separates very quickly those who love the Lord and whom the Lord is softening, and those whose hearts are growing hard. Very quickly, it separates those two. And when we begin to share the gospel with people, they may first have a very positive response. But once you start to get a little deeper into it and show them from the law their sinful state, it gets divisive. And you're going to have one of two responses from the unbeliever. They're either going to forget about it and move on with their life and just say, "Oh, that's nice, that's nice, you weirdo." And they're going to walk away. Or they're going to actively oppose the message. And they're going to get in your face and start yelling at you. If they don't believe the message, that's what their response is going to be. One of those two. Here in this passage, we find the Apostle Paul preaching the gospel at Pisidian Antioch, and we see the initial response of the crowd is positive. But things quickly change, and the divisiveness of the gospel becomes apparent. So as we work through this passage, we're first of all going to look at the aspects of the initial positive response that these people had. The initial response was positive. And then we'll see the division that occurred and the tragic results of this division. So let's look at Acts chapter 13, starting with verse 42. Let me tell you what happened right before this, though. Just like I did this morning. What happened right before this was Paul and Barnabas, they came to Pisidian Antioch and they preached the gospel in the synagogue. Okay? They went through and they preached the whole gospel. And then after that, this is where we're at right now. Right after they're done, they're just about to leave. And that's where we're at. Verse 42. As Paul and Barnabas were going out, the people kept begging that these things might be spoken to them the next Sabbath. Now, when the meeting of the synagogue had broken up, many of the Jews and of the God-fearing proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, were urging them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. Since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we're turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us. I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of prominence and the leading men of the city and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust of their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So, at this point, the preaching of the gospel has just occurred, and we just read what happened. The first section here, we see the initial reaction when the gospel was preached, the initial reaction of this crowd, and we see that it's positive, and it has four aspects, okay? And the first aspect is that these individuals were excited. They were eager to hear this. Verse 42 says, "And as Paul and Barnabas were going out, the people kept begging that these things might be spoken to them the next Sabbath." So, who were Paul and Barnabas addressing? Well, we're told in Acts 13, verse 14 and 16, that they were addressing the Jews first and also those who fear God, the Gentiles who had given up their pagan religion in favor of worshiping Yahweh. They weren't men of Israel, but they were converts to Judaism. So that's who Paul's talking to. He went to the Jews first and these people that were converts. So it's not surprising that they were excited. In this message that Paul just spoke, he preached powerfully about God's sovereign choice of Israel. He talked about King David. He talked about the prophets. He talked about their deliverance from Egypt. His message was steeped in the Old Testament. The only objectionable thing, perhaps, that Paul talked about was, you know, his message that was naming Jesus of Nazareth as the Messiah. And you say, well, that's not a little thing. No, but at this point, that just may have piqued their curiosity. Well, what is he talking about? What? I didn't understand him. You know, they were excited. They wanted to hear more. They wanted more information, maybe clarification. Did we hear him right? And notice it says the people kept begging that he would speak to them again the next Sabbath. So the first sign we see here of this positive response was their eagerness to hear more. And we need to ask ourselves, as believers, do we desire to hear the Word of God more? Do we look forward to coming here on Sundays? Are we just eager and excited to hear it? Do we like to listen to sermons on the radio? Do we read commentaries? Do we read our study Bible? Do we read the Word of God? Are we just excited and eager to hear the Word of God? You say, yes, I am. Well, then what's your motive? Are you truly wanting to hear it because you want to hear the truth? Or maybe you just want to have your ears tickled? Maybe you just want to hear things that make you feel good? There is joy in serving Jesus, but joy and happiness are seldom the same thing. Joy in Christ comes with many trials and tribulations, but it's real. It's solid. It's not this weak and fluffy dessert type thing that just tastes good at first. No, it's real. Acts 14:22 tells us, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. So the first aspect that we saw here of this positive reaction was that the people that heard it were excited and they were eager to hear more. Now, the second aspect that we see in this verse is that they were persistent. Verse 43 says, "Now, when the meeting of the synagogue had broken up, many of the Jews and of the God-fearing proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas." So some of them, they couldn't even wait until the next Sabbath. You know, they begged them to come back the next Sabbath, but some of them couldn't even wait till then. They followed these guys right out into the streets, still holding a conversation with them, perhaps. They didn't just walk out the synagogue doors and forget what they'd just learned and say, that was nice. I'll learn about it next time. No, they were persistent in their inquiry of Paul and Barnabas. You can almost see them walking out the doors, trying to catch Paul and Barnabas, pushing people out of the way and, you know, asking them questions. What did you mean by this? How do you know this is true? What should we do now? Tell us more. You know, all at once, just coming at them like that. They were persistent. And, you know, persistence with the right motives, with a focus on and a desire for godly wisdom and sanctification, that's admirable. It's noble if that's what your persistence is for. It shows that you don't want to just let it go. You desire to grasp the truth of Christ for the purpose of putting it into practice. You don't want to just let it go over your head or hear it and just walk out the doors. You're persistent. You're digging like the Bereans. You want to study these things to find out if they're true. Now, not all persistence is good. We know that. We all have children. And we know they come, I want this, I want this, I want this. You know, they keep going over and over and over until we give in. I would never give in, but. Just kidding. But, see, there's a difference here. It's the motive behind the persistence. And these individuals had a good, pure motive to gain a better understanding of God. That's what they wanted. Now, the third positive aspect of this initial interaction, this initial hearing of the gospel, was that these individuals were professing to be believers. Apparently, some of the group claimed to believe. Verse 43 says, Now, when the meeting of the synagogue had broken up, many of the Jews and of the God-fearing proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, were urging them to continue in the grace of God. Now, whether or not their profession was genuine wasn't immediately apparent. That's why Paul admonishes them to continue in the grace of God. Continue. Perseverance is a true mark of saving faith. We know this. Colossians 1:21-23 says, And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaging in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Notice it says there, if indeed you continue in the faith. Perseverance. Those who start strong but then fall away completely, I'm not talking about what we said this morning where you may get distracted and you start dwelling on other things and maybe you grow a little dry, you stop reading the Word and you grow a little dry. No, I'm talking about completely falling away. Those who completely fall away and never come back, they were never saved in the first place. 1 John 2:19 tells us, They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. See, that's a huge problem in today's contemporary of evangelistic churches. Assurance is given by a man based on a prayer that they said. That's, you know, it's based on that. They say, then they, these pastors will quote Acts 16:31. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You're saved. You said this prayer, remember? But the problem is they don't stop to consider if that faith that was stated in the prayer was genuine or not. Are they truly born again? It's not our job to give anyone assurance of their salvation, no matter how badly we want to, no matter how badly we want to tell our children, oh, you're saved, don't worry about it. Don't do that. It's not our job to do that. It's the Holy Spirit's job. If you're not sure of your salvation, don't ask man's opinion on if you're saved or not. Don't ask me, do you think I'm saved? I think so. I don't know. Your salvation should not stand or fall on whether or not I, pastor, or somebody else thinks you're saved. It shouldn't stand or fall on a prayer that you said years ago. But the question is, has your life been transformed? Are you a new creature in Jesus Christ? Are you different now than you were before you came to Christ? Do you understand, as that hymn says, that you were a wretch? You were blind, but now you see. The last positive feature of the people's initial reaction was that they were actually present again on the next Sabbath. They were there. They begged them to come back. They came back. And they were there. Verse 44 says, The next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. Nearly the whole city. Can you imagine that? The whole city of Allendale came here to hear pastor preach next Sunday or next time he preaches? That would be awesome. Nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. So obviously the enthusiasm of the earlier group had spread. Because it says nearly the whole city now. That's a huge crowd. So the initial positive response to the gospel was characterized by eagerness to hear more. They were eager to hear more. They were persistent. They wanted to know if this was true. They professed to have faith, and then they were present on the next Sabbath. Now, the passage moves from the initial positive response to the subsequent or the later response in verses 45 through 49. And we see here that the gospel is now beginning to divide. This is where it starts to divide. The last section of the passage is broken down into three parts. First, we see the negative response to the second preaching of the gospel. And we see who this negative response came from, which was the Jews, essentially. And then we see the positive response and who that came from. And finally, we see the results of this division. So, let's look at the first aspect of this, of the division that occurred. It was the negative response of the Jews. Verse 45 through 47. But when the Jews saw the crowds, remember, they came back the next Sabbath. Nearly the whole city was assembled there. And now it says, but when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. Since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles, for so the Lord has commanded us. I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth. So what's the deal? Why was there this huge reversal from the last Sabbath? They were so eager and excited the first time. They're angry. But look at what it says in verse 45. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with joy? No, they were filled with jealousy. Man, they're all going to follow Jesus. We're the ones they should be following. They were prejudiced. They resented the fact that salvation was said to be for Jew and Gentile alike. Nothing made them more angry than the thought that salvation might be extended to the hated Gentiles. Are you kidding me? They can't be saved. We're the chosen ones of God. Remember Jonah? He did not want to go to the Ninevites. There's no way. Even when he went there and preached and they got saved, he was like, I knew you were going to do this, God. And that's the same thing. These Jews are saying, no way, they can't be saved, these Gentiles. Now, we see here that they move from anger to sinful action in the second half of verse 45. They were filled with jealousy. They began contradicting the things spoken by Paul. Now, remember in the introduction I said that someone who doesn't believe in the gospel will either just walk away and kind of be indifferent or say, that's nice, you know, I believe in God, or they'll actively oppose it. And these Jews were actively opposing it. And whenever you preach the gospel, people have to be thinking something. When you present the gospel to somebody, they're not just a blank. They're thinking something when you're presenting the gospel. If there's someone who's indifferent to it, then they may be thinking either, oh, well, you know, Jesus is okay for you, but I'm okay. Or they'll just roll their eyes and they can't wait for you to shut up so that they can get out of here. That's probably a lot of you right now. Can't wait for me to shut up so you can get out of here. But that's what they do. That's what they're going to be thinking. And on the other hand, if there's someone who's driven by anger or pride, they'll hear you say something like you're a sinner who has no good in you, and if you don't repent of your sin and turn to Christ for forgiveness, then you're going to spend eternity in hell. And when they hear that, they get angry. And they want to actively oppose the word of God. And that's what these men did. They heard the truth, but their hearts were hardened rather than softened. And we also see here that they moved from debating Paul and Barnabas to actually blaspheming God. Verse 45. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and Barnabas. They did that first. That didn't work. And were blaspheming. Man. This shows us that their initial profession, if they were one of the ones that had the initial profession, it was false, because no true believer could genuinely blaspheme God. Now, we see all this anger and this hatred focused on Paul and Barnabas because they're the ones preaching this gospel. And you wonder, were they intimidated by all this opposition? Were they like, oof, man, this is scary? Look at verse 46. 46a, it says, Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. Since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. They were bold. They were bold. They spoke out against these men. You know, and these guys, I think of Paul, I think of Joe Aho, a guy so bold. He just stands up and he's not scared. Sometimes I'm like, Joe, you're so bold, man. I admire that. But that's what I think of when I see Paul. They spoke out boldly. So as the anger and fury of the crowd grew, so did the courage and zeal of these missionaries. It's because they knew that they were speaking the words of truth. They had nothing to fear. They were speaking the truth. So then finally we see that Paul and Barnabas ended with these words. It says, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. We had to speak to you first. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto everyone who believes. To the Jew first, also to the Gentile. Jesus would go into the synagogues. Paul would go into the synagogues first, preach it to the Jews. They rejected it. He'd go to the Gentiles. So he says, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. So that's what they did. They did that first. But this verse says that the Jews repudiated it. They rejected it. And they judged themselves unworthy of eternal life. So although these individuals had the clear gospel preached to them, their hard hearts and jealous pride blinded them to the truth. They rejected it, and they flat out refused to believe that this carpenter from Galilee can be their Messiah. Are you crazy? There's no way. No way. So since the Jews rejected the gospel, they now turned to the Gentiles. They just said, okay. They turned to the Gentiles. Verse 46, the end of verse 46 says, we are turning to the Gentiles. Then verse 47, For so the Lord has commanded us, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. There was absolutely no justification for these Jews for their hostile response to the Gentiles. None. It was just blatant racism, essentially. Okay, so at this point, we move on to the other half of the division that occurred, which is the positive response of the Gentiles. We saw the negative response of the Jews. Now we see the positive response of the Gentiles in verse 48 and 49. It says, and when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the God, the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. So the same message that enraged the Jews, the same message that made them just hate him, caused rejoicing among the Gentiles. Same message, different response. And notice the end of verse 48. It says, as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. This just reinforces the fact that no one can come to Jesus unless it has been granted them from the Father. And we talked about that this morning. I'm not going to linger there. Now, we see in verse 49 that the believing Gentiles could not help but share their faith. They couldn't help it. Look at verse 49. And the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. And isn't it how it is? Evangelism always follows a true conversion. It just does. Think about it. Remember when you were first saved. Remember the zeal you had? You had to tell everybody. You're telling your parents, you're telling your cousins, you're telling the guy on the street, you're telling everybody. You just had to tell everybody. You were on fire for the Lord. But what happened? Perhaps you experienced that division that comes from sharing the gospel. Somebody in your family took the wind out of your sails. They began to shoot you down and call you a fanatic. You know, they started to say, you're just going too far with that stuff. Come on, just lay off a little bit. So you did. You started saying, you know what, maybe they're right. Maybe I should lay off a little bit. Don't let this stop us. Don't let these little roadblocks deter us from sharing the gospel. We should be just as on fire now as we were then. Remember your first love. Remember that when you first came to the Lord. Now, in closing, let's look at the last three verses to see the result of this division that took place. Verse 50 through 52. But the Jews incited the devout women of prominence and the leading men of the city and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust of their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So obviously, these jealous Jews were unable to deter these missionaries through debate because they couldn't win. They couldn't beat Paul and Barnabas because they were speaking the truth. So what they did was they got all these religious women and the prominent men and of the city. They got them all together and they had them take Paul and Barnabas and throw them out of the city. We couldn't beat them in a debate, so let's just get them out of here. And then we see in verse 51 the result of this. The tragic result for these unbelieving, hard-hearted individuals. But they, Paul and Barnabas, shook off the dust of their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. Now, you say, well, why is that so significant? The shaking off the dust on the feet, what does that mean? Well, in Luke chapter 10, verses 10 and 12, Jesus says, he's sending out the 70, and he says, but whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, even the dust of your city which clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I say to you, it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. That's significant. Strong condemnation for these individuals. So these obstinate, unbelieving Jews were left to be condemned in their unbelief. But on the contrary, the very last verse says, and the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Some were saved, some believed in that city, and they were continually filled with joy. So when you share the gospel, be sure of this, there's going to be division. There's going to be a lot of people who reject you. But there's going to be some who will be continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Some will be saved when you share the gospel. In this passage, we've seen the stark truth of what happens every time the gospel is preached somewhere. It's going to be divisive. In the case of the initial response, we saw that it was positive. They were eager, they were excited, they were persistent, they claimed to be believers, they were present. In the last half of the passage, we saw the division that took place. We saw that the negative response came from the Jews. The positive response was from the Gentiles. And then we saw the results of that response. And probably one of the primary things that I want us to see One of the primary things that I want us to take away from this message is, first of all, to examine ourselves to see where we're at with our response to the gospel. Do an honest evaluation of yourself. And secondly, understand that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're commanded to share the gospel. And don't be surprised when it's divisive. Expect it to be divisive. Let the message be divisive, though, not your attitude. Not, you know, as Pastor always says, when we're in the deacons doing our prayer before we come out here, he's got his little mints, the Altoids. And we say, can we have an altar? He says, yes, you may. The message should be offensive, but not you. So, and that's how it is when you share the gospel. The message is going to be offensive. But don't you be offensive by your attitude or the way you present it. Make sure you share it with love, being gentle, but expect it to be divisive. And when it does, when it is, praise the Lord. So go out tomorrow, wherever you're going, to work, to school, wherever. And share the gospel with somebody. Be encouraged. Just go up and share the gospel. And if they're divisive, go, praise the Lord. You get punched, say, praise the Lord. You know, we went out, me and the teens went out years ago, and Chaley was, we were out, me and Joe and I don't remember who else, but a bunch of the teens, and we were out in Grand Rapids, and we were witnessing, and we're walking down the boardwalk, and Josh had this big cross he was carrying, and I remember Chaley and Jay were kind of over here, and a couple other people, and I was behind them, or no, I think we were in front of them, but anyways, Chaley went to give this guy a track, and he spit on her. He spit on her. And I don't think she was praising the Lord at that time. But, you know, that's what's going to happen when you share the gospel. But be excited. Get excited to share the gospel. You guys know the gospel. We all know the gospel. We all know how to present it. We all know how to share it. We just need to pray that God would give us boldness and wisdom. And we need to approach these people and just share it with them and see what the Lord does. Let's go to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank You so much for the opportunity to look into Your Word tonight. Lord, Your Word is so rich. It's so full of truth. We see wonderful examples of godly men like Paul and Barnabas, and these men that were just bold. They were given over to You completely. But we also know that they were just men. The same Holy Spirit that dwelled in them dwells in us. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living within us today. I pray that we would submit to You, that we would submit completely, give ourselves over to You in prayer, and just look for opportunities. Be sensitive to Your leading. As we see others, that we would be sensitive to Your leading, and we would approach them and be willing to share the gospel with these individuals, knowing that You're sovereign, You're in control. We wouldn't allow our pride, our self-centered hearts, and our being that we wouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. We would share it with joy, expecting it to divide. We pray now, we thank You for the ice cream that You've provided for us tonight, Lord. And we just pray that we would have a good time of fellowship, enjoying each other's company. We thank You for this body of believers. In Jesus' name.